Have you guys ever been in a giant crowd? Whether it's a big concert you went to, or whether it was some political thing you went to, or some electronic that got released, some big, massive group of people that were really excited, say that the Royals had won the World Series for the first time in 30 years or something like that, so everyone gets really excited. And so you're in this mass impress of people, and that many people get together always for a reason. You don't have people shoulder to shoulder when there's nothing going on. And so in Jesus' time, there's a massive crowd, a really large crowd, Mark chapter 4 says, and they showed up to see Jesus. And the reason they showed up to see Jesus, it tells us, is because Jesus was telling these parables. He was telling stories that had some sort of deeper meaning. And for Mark, all the stories that Jesus told that day and all the people there, there was one story that stuck out to him, one story that he wanted to share. And so for you guys today, if you're thinking about that, if you're in a crowd of people and you hear this great person speak, and they say a lot of stuff, but you held on to one thing, I bet the thing you would hold on to is the thing that actually meant something to you, the thing that fit your life, had some sort of truth for you. And so that's the thing we're going to look at today, is the thing that had truth for Mark. And I have a feeling it's going to have truth for you too. Jesus is going to talk to us about four different types of people, four different types of lives that get lived. And I bet if you'll be open to it, you'll see that you fit one of those right now. And Jesus is going to have some wisdom for you. So today we're going to start reading in Mark chapter 4, if you want to read along. It's going to start in verse 3. And Jesus says, listen. So he gets our attention. He says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And we don't have time to read the whole chapter, but if you want to go home and read the whole chapter, I'm going to give you some kind of the insight that Jesus shares at the end. He explains the parable. And so at the end, he starts talking about what is this seed that the farmer sows. Because in case you're not an ancient farmer, they would go out and throw seed on fields just like this. But Jesus says in this story, the seed is the word. And the word is something that comes up all through the Bible. Sometimes people will say, like, oh, that's the Bible, the word of God. But a lot of times the Bible itself speaks even more broadly of that. It talks about Jesus being the word. And I think here in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is talking about the gospel, the idea that Jesus can come into your life and save you and change you no matter where you've been. And so that idea of salvation gets planted. And unlike, you know, normal farmer, they will pick the best spot of land they can find, and they will put their seeds just in the best soil. But the story here describes a farmer who puts the seed in all sorts of types of soil. I think that's interesting. The different types of soil are different types of people. And right from the start, we see the farmer, the God character in the story, he's willing to try with all sorts of people. No matter what your past has been, God's willing to put something into your life. And the difference will be, how do you respond to it? So let's look at the first type of person here. It says, as the farmer was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. So if you've ever walked on a dirt road that gets a lot of traffic, it gets really compacted and hard, almost like our sidewalk would be today. And so if a kernel of wheat or corn or whatever falls on a hard path, it's breakfast buffet for the birds, basically. I mean, it's not going into the dirt. It's just going to stay there and sit there until some bird comes and eats it. So here in this parable, when Jesus explains it, he says the bird is Satan. The bird's our enemy. The bird is this evil force in the world. Now, some people like to blame Satan for everything that goes wrong, but here Jesus says that's the only time Satan shows up in this whole parable. And it's when somebody is so hard that the word doesn't have any space in their life. So that's an opportunity for Satan to come in and steal it away. And it says as soon as they hear it, Satan snatches it away from them. And so if you're in the room today and you're thinking, well, I'm not like that. Well, that's kind of how the hard people think. I think the hard path is, I'm fine. I don't need to change. The hard life is this idea that I'm not wrong. Other people might tell me good advice, but I've got excuses about why it doesn't apply to me. I'm special. You know, those sorts of attitudes, they end up just like this. whatever good God tries to put in your life, it just gets snatched away because you've got this hard heart that says, I don't need help. So if you're here today and you say, I don't need help, or yeah, Bob. Yeah.
Let me just, great place for me to interrupt. So this is a warning at the very front end of our message, okay? And this is the warning. If you're checking your cell phone, if you're talking to your partner, if you're thinking about what you're going to have for lunch, if you're wondering when these two clowns up here on the platform are going to stop talking, you fit in this category, okay? And that is not the category you want to be in, okay? Just FYI. So proceed.
And so some of us think, well, I'm okay. I'm humble enough. I know I need help, and that's good. But there's a couple more categories Jesus talks us about that we probably don't want to be in. So some seeds fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. So we get here this image of a plant that starts to spring up real quick. It's green and tall, but as soon as it gets hot, as soon as it gets hard, then because it doesn't have any depth, it just burns up, it withers. And later, when Jesus is describing these folks to his disciples, he says, this is like people who have no root, and when trouble or persecution comes, they wither. And so, unfortunately, we see this sort of stuff right here in this room. I mean, it's not just people outside that struggle with this. Of maybe you say all the right stuff, and you know the right answers, and you can talk a good game, but when things get hard, have you really taken care of the junk inside of you, the rocks and the gravel that's underneath the surface in your life? If you haven't taken care of that stuff, when things get hard, then you're going to go back out, or you're going to go back to your old ways, whatever those old ways were. You know, we talk to a lot of folks that are in recovery that are working the steps, and we talk to a lot of folks that are going to meetings that aren't really in recovery and working the steps. And there's a big difference between those two, because the steps are working at getting that gravel out of your life. It's working at saying, like, what resentments, what bitterness, what parts of me don't fit with the life that God wants me to live. And if you're not in the program, those same sorts of steps still might apply to your life of who have you wronged in the past? How do you make amends to those people? How do you start being humble enough to somebody else in your life and saying, here's who I really am. Here's the things I've done wrong, and I need to do better. So that's how you start to work at those stones, those gravel in your heart. If you don't work at it, honestly, you might do really great for a few weeks, a few months. You might get up onto this stage at some point, and people will be saying, like, yeah, that guy's doing great because he's saying all the right stuff. And you look like this awesome plant growing. But when things get hard, when there's trouble in your life, you're going to wither up. Because on the inside, you haven't done the work on the inside to get good with God, to take out the stuff that's holding you back.
There ought to be an amen for that.
Okay, there you go. Bob's right, going to give it to you.
Where are you, Brian English? Did you go to sleep? You know, the truth is he just said a whole lot there. And there's some of us who look really good on the outside, but when we get below the surface, that below the surface is it. And it's those rocks that have been in our life for a long time, and it is very hard to dig them out. And so I just want to give the amen to it, all right?
Yeah. Okay, so this third group is the one that scares me the most. If we haven't hit one that scares you, then make sure you're listening to these, because you're probably falling in one of these first three groups, unfortunately. That's where a lot of us are. This one's the one that scares me. It says, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. So what happens with this one, it's nice, good soil. It's a good spot. It starts growing well. There's not a ton of rocks, like those have been dealt with. But there's some other stuff also growing with the plants. And if you've ever planted a garden and you got a little greedy about how much you put in the garden, you might have seen this. When plants are really small, there's plenty of space. They all start growing. But if you put too many plants in too small of a pot or too small of a garden, eventually they choke each other out, and you don't get any tomatoes or whatever vegetable you're trying to get because they're all starving each other off. Here's what Jesus says when he describes the thorns. I want you to think back and say, do I struggle with these things? So he says there's three things that are thorns in our lives. The worries of this life can choke out the fruit that God has for us. So think about the past. October's not very old yet. You know, we're the 9th of October or something. Just in October, how much has the worries of this life consumed you at some point in the last 9 days? If I'm honest, it's several different moments in the last 9 days. It's been just my heart is beating faster because I'm worried about this or that thing. Jesus describes worry as a thorn growing right next to you on your shoulder. It's going to choke out the fruit that God wants to produce in your life. So if you can look back over the last week or so and you say, I see a lot of worry, then you're looking in a mirror as we look at this. Don't just jump to the end and say, oh yeah, I'm the good one. Because if you got worry, Jesus says, no, you're this one. Brian's that one, okay.
All right, let me I'm sorry,
yeah,
Jack.
You're
I just
okay.
have to keep doing this to you. Thursday, I had a great prayer time. One of the best prayer time of the week was Thursday morning, okay? Right after Thursday morning, I got an email that took me completely off my game, and it was a worry email, all right? And it stayed on my brain. I griped about it. Everybody was around me on Thursday knew what I was talking about, and it's exactly what you're talking about. So the seed of God was in me. Great prayer time. All right, Lord, here we go. Email. Took me off. It's really easy to do. So, by the way, I'm a little schizophrenic. I apply to all of these, okay? So, any rate.
Okay. So, worries is the first thorn. But unfortunately, there's a couple more that Jesus mentioned, so it gets more biting here. So, the next one, Jesus says, is the deceitfulness of wealth. So, how many of us, even in the last 9 days or so, the last week, how many of us thought, well, if only I had more money, I'd be less worried? Yeah. Or how many of us thought, if only I had more money, our marriage would be better. You don't have to raise your hand for that one. Or, if only we had more money, I'd be more generous. I'd give more away if I had more. So maybe you don't have tons of rich friends, but if you want to look around and if you get a chance to talk to a lot of rich people, I bet you'll find that it's not across the board that all rich people have no worries and great marriages, and they're really generous. I mean, we all know that right away. So what does that tell us about this little whisper we have of, like, if you had more money, blah, 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 blah? That's a lie, is what Jesus says. The deceitfulness of wealth chokes out what God wants to do in your life. Americans are wealthier than most other nations, vastly wealthier than most other nations. But we don't have our marriages totally figured out. We're not all super generous. We're not free from worry. So if you're chasing after money to try to get one of those things, then that's going to choke out what God wants to do in your life. And so if you think, oh, I can't wait till I have this so I can be generous, why not just leapfrog to getting richer and just become generous today? And just say, I'm going to not spend money on this, and I'm going to be generous. Next thorn, this one is the scariest of all to me. It says dissipation, or it says the desire for other things. It doesn't say sinful things, it just says the desires for other things. A lot of us want to follow Jesus, but we also want to be successful at work, and we want to be involved in 17 activities, and we want everyone around us to like us, everybody. And we also want to look at our phones 100 times a day. And so because we want to do all that stuff, it's really hard to do the thing that God asked us to do. We're going to be talking about what's the thing that God asked us to do. But it's hard to accomplish it if you're running all over the place. We've all heard the phrase about, you know, butter spread on too much toast, or we can all kind of picture that. Scraping and you just don't have enough there. But how many of us, even just in October, feel like there's not enough of us to spread over the toast of our life? There's not enough of us to be good at what we're trying to do. Yesterday, I tried to lead a prayer retreat. I tried to lead a funeral. I tried to do this PowerPoint. I tried to hang out with my extended family. And I tried to be a good husband. And honestly, I didn't do a very great job at most of those. I mean, everything happened, but none of it was as good as it could have been. And I also, like, ruined a thermos in our office because I was so busy trying to make coffee. I just made a disaster in our office, made a big mess.
But somebody, that's because somebody can come and pray with you during the invitation. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was trying to do 17 things yesterday. And because of that, I don't think I bore the fruit that I could have bore. How many of us have that same thing about our life? And if your yesterday was like that, and all of October has been like that for you, what makes you think that 40 years from now is going to be any different? Your whole life is just a collection of these days that you have. And if every day you're trying to cram too much into a limited amount of time, you're probably not going to succeed the way that you want it to. So, I don't even know. I left my clicker somewhere along the way. So, okay. Got excited on that one. Sorry. Okay. So, here's what Jesus wants us to do. Have you ever finally just wanted someone, okay, tell me what to do? If I just knew what to do, I could do it. But Jesus is going to tell us what to do. So listen up here. He says, still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop. Some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. So there's that idea. It grew and it produced a crop. Jesus wants to grow in you. He wants to change you from the inside. He wants to change your inside condition. He wants to change the habits in your life. But he also wants you to produce that change in other people. And he doesn't say, hey, I want Marcus to change 1,000 people's lives. But he does say, like, I want Robbie to change 30 people's lives over the course of his whole life, okay? Or I want Chad to change 60 people's lives over the course of his life, or Don to change 100 people's lives over the course of their life. And how are we supposed to change it? He's basically saying the same thing I put into you, I want you to put that into 30, 60, 100 people. So think about what's the stuff that God has put into you. Jerry downstairs was just talking to us about he can't believe how many second chances God's given him. And he's so thankful. He's so appreciative of how good God is. And you think, huh, God giving him grace changed Jerry. So what if Jerry went out and gave so much grace to somebody else that it changed their life? You can't necessarily do that for 1,000 other people, but what if Jerry did that for one person this year and one person next year and one person the year after that? And then at the end of Jerry's life, there'd be 30, 60, 100 people that could say, Jerry changed my life because he stuck with me when nobody else would. Or he loved me in a way that I didn't know was possible. Or he was generous in a way I couldn't understand. Or he taught me how to do something. So when we see wheat or we see any sort of fruit, you put one seed into the ground, but you always get more seeds out. That's how life is able to exist, is because plants reproduce. When Jesus plants something in you, does more come out than what God put in? Think about that. Think about all the good things that God put in your life. But has it spread to anybody else's life? Bob, how do we make it spread to other people's lives?
Let's look at 2 Timothy really quick. And so it starts off by saying, the things you have heard me say. I want to make a really quick point here. Back probably 10, 12 years ago, I came to church before anybody got here. I think I was here maybe at 6:30 in the morning. Even Earl wasn't here at that time. And I sat right back there by where Dale is. And I believed God had called me to come to church because he wanted to say something to me. And so I waited, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes, and I just kind of prayed and I waited for God. And interestingly, he said nothing. And I thought, okay, I missed that one. And I went out, and I was parked right out of here on the side. I went out to go home to get cleaned up to come back. And I got in my car, and I had just a one-second meeting with the Lord that was so memorable. I don't know that he said anything particular to me, but I had this sense of God's presence. I had done what he wanted me to do, and he had come to meet with me. And what's interesting is when we talk about the Word of God, the seed that's being sown, we're talking about God himself personally talking to us. And so he uses Jake and Bob and all sorts of means to deliver that word. Sometimes he does like he did me in the front seat of my car. So it's important for us to hear. So when Paul says the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, he's not just saying, well, this is a new Bible study and I hope you enjoy it and your brain gets better and bigger. He's talking about God communicating with us. God is giving us his word. But then he goes on to say, then entrust these things to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. So God gives it to you, Jerry. He gives it to you, whoever it might be. He gives you the word to do what? To entrust to somebody else. Now, if you wanted to start a big fire in Independence, okay, fire marshal's not here today, we're safe. If you wanted to start a big fire in Independence, would you just give Jake a big blowtorch and say, go for it, Jake. He, you are our man. You are the pastor. Go do it. Would you do that? Jake could probably accomplish a pretty good fire with that. But here's a better way. What if we, as we left the service today, the ushers were at all the doors, and the ushers had one little match, and your job was to do this. Take your one little match and creatively light the biggest fire you can light this week. Okay? I guarantee you, this place would be on fire, and I would be locked up for suggesting that we do this. So we're not going to do that. But we are going to do this. You have a fire that's not destructive, but constructive. It's the fire of the life of God that's in you. It is the word of God that he puts in you. Again, not a Bible study, not another thought about God, but the life of God in you. And you today can find one person, and you can reach that one person with a light. And that one person can reach another and another and another, and the 30 becomes 60, and the 60 becomes 100, and the 100 becomes 100,000. Okay? And so I would suggest to you today, great response for you would be to say, okay, God, I've heard your word. I'm going to dig up the gravel. I'm going to clear out the weeds. I'm going to let your word grow in me. But I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to go to somebody. It may be a sponsee. It may be a friend. It may be a coworker. It may be a child, a grandchild. It may be someone. God, I'm not going to just take this message and take the light, blow it out, and then walk away. I'm going to work with it. How about that? You know, I think this is a good time just to ask people to respond, Jake. And so why don't we just stand and we're going to have prayer. The worship team's going to be up here. And we'll have people down here who would like to pray with you. We want you now to respond to what God is saying to you. And I'll just tell you right now, if you're forgetting what we're saying, you're in the category one, all right? Don't be there, all right? Ask God, Lord, what can I do with what we've heard? All right, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you that you love us enough to tell us how things are, to reveal our heart, to let us know that some of us just completely have forgotten everything that's been said already today. And Lord, I thank you that you're gracious. You'll give us another chance. Lord, I thank you that some of us, we've sprouted up really big, but we've had some big failure this week because our roots aren't deep enough yet. And I thank you, Lord, that you're helping us to dig deeper right now to get into there. And Lord, I thank you that some of us have seen, yeah, they're the weeds that are crowding out your life. We're so busy, we're so occupied. The truth is, Lord, we haven't shared the gospel, the good news, the love of who you are with somebody in a really long time. And Lord, I just ask that you help us to repent of that. And then, Lord, I thank you that some of us, we're producing fruit. I just pray that everybody here now produces fruit. Lord, may that match of your life in us be given and be shared through us to others. We ask for that. In Jesus' name, amen.